Blog Talk Radio.
Check me out, y'all. Nasty Nas in your area. About to cause mass hysteria. Before a blunt, I take out my front. Then I start the front. Matter of fact, I'll be on a manhunt. You couldn't catch me in the streets without a ton of reaper. That's like Malcolm X catching a jungle fever. King poetic, too much flavor, I'm major. Atlanta ain't braver, I pull a number like a pager. Cause I'm an ace when I face the base. 40 side is the place that is giving me grace. Now wait, when your rhyme is halftime.
All right, man, it is halftime, and welcome to another episode of Flex Unleashed. I'm your host, D-Flex, Derek Felix here, live and in color for about half an hour. This is a special Flex Unleashed, the second show of Flex Unleashed on the Hard Hits Network. Network, of course, by me, actually, Derek Felix, but D-Flex here. And this is a special edition. And this is a show that we'll have every Friday night around 11 o'clock. Usually it'll run an hour long, but decided to do a little half an hour blitz on the Super Bowl. And Super Bowl 50, it's in the books, folks. That's right, the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos win their third Super Bowl ever. And they do it by shutting down the Panthers 24-10. How about that, folks? Right, the Panthers, Cam Newton, 10 points, held to 10 points, the Panthers, and no touchdowns for Cam Newton, a couple of big turnovers by Cam Newton, interception, couple of strip sacks by my MVP pick, actually, Von Miller. Von Miller was the MVP and a guy that I picked to win MVP on this show a couple of nights ago. How about that? Got that one right. A lot of people really didn't give the Broncos a chance, and I didn't really understand why. Could just win this game at will. And I just think the way they were treated, there was just so much cockiness. And the way they acted, especially Cam Newton, and just the way they carried themselves during Super Bowl week, the quarterback especially, it didn't sit well with me. It really didn't. And I can't say that I'm terribly surprised. I'm happy, actually. I think sometimes you got to get smacked in the face a little bit. Sometimes you got to take it on the chin. And that's exactly what happened. So, and the quarterback didn't really have too much to say after the game. I wonder why. Well, it's not about Cam Newton tonight. It's about Peyton Manning. And congratulations to Peyton Manning. A guy, of course, that I've certainly been over in the past, of course, not getting done in past events. But this wasn't like the Super Bowl at Giant Stadium a couple of years ago, where I was sitting next to my brother, we're at a hangout, we're at our buddy P's, and my brother says to me, as the Broncos are about to have their first snap of the game, when they get the ball, he's like, can you imagine if they snap the ball over Peyton's head again and it winds up in the end zone? Well, it didn't happen like that. This time, Peyton Manning came out, guns blazing, hit a receiver for a big first down, and they got points on their first drive, and I thought that was crucial. That was crucial. It was huge. I mean, for them, even though Carolina's defense did a good job holding, they held them to a field goal, but that was huge. I mean, just for them to get that lead, Carolina had not trailed in the two games, in the first two games. Of course, they were all over Seattle until Seattle started to come back. And they were, and against Arizona, that was never really a game. And that was a big deal. It's a big deal, obviously. And I just loved the strategy. The strategy, of course, and I'm talking about the defense, the Broncos. They went right after it. They went right after Cam Newton. They blitzed. Wade Phillips is a guy that's always been a good defensive line, great defensive line, great defensive coach. Not a great coach as far as a coach material, but when you talk about teaching defense, the guy deserves. He had the number one ranked defense. coming into this game. Everybody talked about Carolina's defense. Oh, and well, Peyton Manning, what's he going to be able to do? Well, Peyton Manning didn't have to do a lot, as it turned out, because the Broncos, they disrupted Cam Newton. They knocked him down. They sacked him. They frustrated him. He missed throws. He missed throws that sometimes he makes. His receivers drop balls. That's true. And he turned over the football like he hasn't turned over the football all year. And they were humbled. They were humbled by a team that was there 2 years in the same position and got destroyed by Seattle. And you don't think that the Broncos were going to be ready for this one? They were. And that's why I leaned toward the Broncos. I picked a low-scoring game. Yeah, I mean, my friends, you know, Brian, Rob, they all felt the Panthers would win this game handily. I just wasn't buying it. I wasn't buying it because I really thought the Broncos' defense was that good, and I was very impressed with them. If they could shut down the Patriots, then I thought, why can't they do it? Why can't they come up with a strategy, come up with a plan to disrupt Cam Newton? And boy, did they do that. The fumbles, the strip sacks, by our MVP Von Miller, and James Stewart, they knocked him around too. Stewart still had a nice game, but he also fumbled, had a big fumble. Cam had another big interception in the third quarter when it looked like the Panthers were getting going. They had a couple of huge opportunities in the second half, and they only wound up a field goal. And that was key. That was their opportunity there. There was that opportunity in the third quarter, in that second half, to turn this thing around. And they had defense started to step up. They got a couple of three outs. They got the ball back. And they had a couple of good drives. And they only wound up with 3 points. And then Cam Newton turning over the football. And that really hurt them because, you know, they had that chance. They had that opportunity. And they missed on it. They missed on it. So, and that was a big, big deal, you know, certainly. Certainly, when you think about the game and the way the game went, a huge deal. So instead, they did not come up with the they did not deliver. All right, and it is what it is. I mean, and you know what? Never mind that. They got humbled. They got humbled by a better football team, and sometimes that happens. But. I, as far as Cam Newton and his reaction and not wanting to talk too much after the game, well, I mean, you talk the talk all week. Talked about this and that, how you were the man, how you were going to be the quarterback, and the whole black quarterback thing, which I didn't understand. I really didn't understand it because he's not the only black quarterback that ever quarterbacked in a Super Bowl. I talked about Doug Williams. Talked about one of the great performances ever. He did it against Elway and the Broncos in the heyday. Doug Williams, of all people. And with that just monster second quarter, still a record for all the touchdowns. And Russell Wilson, I mentioned Russell Wilson the last 2 years, probably should have won 2 Super Bowls. And instead, because they didn't run Marshawn Lynch, who announced on Twitter he's retiring, I mean, it's sad, but that's what happens. Now, Pete Carroll made a huge mistake, and Seattle lost the Super Bowl, and the Patriots won the Super Bowl, the Pats won the Super Bowl, and he had a good hit for 9 years, especially with Seattle. He was great. Russell Lynch decides to retire, and he tweets that he's going to retire after a 9-year career. These things are magnified. These things are really magnified when you talk about the game and you just talk about plays. You know what? I'm gonna go back to a play. And I thought the officiating in this game was not all that good. It sucked, all right? It sucked. This is Flex Unleashed, and the referees were trash in this game, all right? They were trash. I don't know if they were trash completely, if they had some liquor or whatever they did. I don't know if they did a little bit of that Grey Goose or whatever they did. But, They made some bad calls in this game. Carolina, before Newton was strip sacked and resulted in a Denver touchdown, that put them up 10-0 after the extra point. And two plays earlier, Cam Newton looked like he hit, looked like he had a first down, hurting Jericho Cotchery, the 4X Jet, who also played for the Steelers. And Cotchery, he bobbled the ball the first time, and then as the ball's, you know, as he cuts back and catches the ball, seems to have his hands underneath it, down, seems like it's underneath him, and they call it, they say, incomplete. And, you know, just watching it live, you know, sitting next to my brother, just like, that looks like a catch to me. I mean, that's definitely a catch. And I tweeted it out on my other account, and I definitely felt it was catch. I felt it was catch live, and then sometimes you could just tell. And so Carolina coach Ron Rivera was the coach of the year. He deserved it. His team was 15-1, 17-1, and coming into tonight's game. He challenged it. And I thought it was a good challenge. It was definitely a good challenge. It looked to me like it should have been reversed. So what happens? After about, you know, lengthy review, about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, what do? They don't really give you much of an explanation other than to say, after further review, the ruling on the field stands, an incomplete pass. And that cost Rivera a timeout, and that meant that he could only have one more challenge, which he did, you know, later in that same half. He got this challenge right. It was a challenge on Manning, whether or not he was down by contact before a fumble, or, you know, where Denver wound up recovering anyway, and he got that one right. But he lost his challenges after that. And you know, I don't know what they saw on that. Of course, they had the CBS, you know, guy, the former referee, CBS guy, who he's terrible. He's terrible, you know, at the video review. But, you know, in this case, I thought he was right. You know, I thought that it was definitely a catch. And what happens? 2 plays later, they just bull rushed. They absolutely bull rushed Cam Newton. And there goes Von Miller, just right around the corner. Boom, boom, boom. Just strip sacks him. Denver recovers in the end zone. Touchdown, folks. And Von Miller, who's just on his way to a huge game, the guy that I picked to win MVP, just had a feeling about it. I wish I had laid out money on it, because I was so sure about it, too. I mean, just felt like they were really getting disrespected. And what happens? I even almost predicted the score. I had 22-20, and it wound up 24-10, but it could have easily wound up 22-20 if the Panthers didn't have some of the turnovers they had. They had a clock mismanagement issue that really hurt them, came back to bite them at the end of the first half. Finally, we're getting momentum. Finally looked like they were going to maybe get that field goal, you know, get a little momentum going into the half. And I don't know what the story was on the sideline with Rivera, but he waited too long to take his time out. And then what happens? They wind up in a you know, third and long situation, and still like around midfield or inside the 50. And Denver, what does Wade Phillips dial up? He dials up a blitz. Dials up a huge blitz. And DeMarcus Ware just comes unguarded. Bang. Sack. End of half. And so, instead of getting points there, Denver gets nothing. They got absolutely nothing. And that was big time right there. Because it felt like the Panthers were getting some momentum. It looked like they were building a little bit of momentum. Instead, that Denver defense, very fast, and they weren't talked about a lot, and they were the story, and they've been the story for the Broncos this year. Now this, you know, all right, it is about Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning, for the most part, he did what he had to do. He did his job. He completed 13 passes. He did throw one INT. It looked like they were going to go in and he didn't see a linebacker and got picked. And he also got stripped of the ball in the second half, a fumble recovery in the fourth quarter. Look, Manning didn't have to be perfect in this game. He didn't have to. He just had to make a few key throws and manage the game. And I felt like Denver did that. And one of the reasons why I think they won this game, I like the way they started the game. I really like how they started the game. You don't want to get into second and third and long against Carolina. That's where Carolina was forcing all the turnovers. That's where they were eating people up. So what was the strategy by Gary Kubiak? Let's just have Manning come out and throw on first down. You know, do something safe. You know, a short safe route or whatever. Hit a receiver in stride. Pick up 4, 5, 6 yards. Pick up chunks of yards, 5, 6 yards, and then you wind up in second and third and short. And that was a strategy. That was a really effective strategy that I think really helped them, you know, because it gave them a little more momentum. I thought it was a great strategy. And that gave them more of a rhythm. And even though they only wound up with 11 first downs, because Carolina dominated them in the second half, and even though they only had 194 yards, their strategy in the first half worked. And of course, relying on the defense. It also helps, you know, when you take the lead and then your defense, after you probably benefited from a call, where I don't know what they saw on the video review, but then you have the strip sack and Malik Jackson's recovery of the fumble and McManus is hitting the PAT, and just like that, 10-0. And Carolina just did not get going. They did not get off to the, and maybe, I don't know, maybe they were cocky. Maybe they really did expect, you know, to just come into this game. Oh, we're just going to go out there and we're going to win because we're brass, you know, like they did to Arizona. And that's the thing. They weren't Arizona, okay? They weren't Seattle. This was the Denver Broncos and a team that had been there a couple of years ago and got humiliated by the Seahawks at Giant Stadium, or at MetLife Stadium, I should say, in just an uncompetitive game. And they knew this was probably going to be Peyton's final game, even though he didn't say it, but he didn't have to. And I loved his responses, too. I loved his response, especially the Tracy Wilson and Jim Nance. And I understand they got to ask the question, but I felt like they were just being douchebags. You know, just stop already. Let him enjoy the moment. You really think he's going to answer the question there? And I love Peyton's response. First one to Tracy Wilson on the field, gathering around. He just said, "I'm going to go hug my wife, and then I'm going to go drink some Budweisers tonight." And I thought that was a great cue of, like, Peyton Manning is giving a nice pitch for Budweiser. Here comes the Budweiser commercials, and here comes the money rolling in. Peyton Manning doing what he does best. I thought that was a great answer. I don't know if he rehearsed it or anything. It was just perfect. It was perfect. And then, as they know, they're going to present the Lombardi Trophy. Again, the question of Peyton Manning from Jim Nance. And at that point, I'm just like, just shut up, Jim Nance. I mean, but you know what? I love the way Peyton Manning answered. He's just like, and then he elaborated. He said, "I'm not going to make an emotional decision. I had a great talk with my former coach, Tony Dungy, who, of course, coached the Colts to Super Bowl with Peyton, Peyton's first Super Bowl win. And Tony Dungy's going into the Hall of Fame. Congratulates to him, and a great class going in, along with Brett Favre, of course, headlining. And there's other guys like Kevin Green's a guy that I really like. I wish Kurt Warner was part of it because I feel like he should be part of it, but he's not for some stupid reason. And he just had an emotional decision. He won the game. It probably is his final game, but it's like, and then he again repeated his standard line. "I'm going to go and I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to give my wife a hug and I'm going to have some Budweisers. I'm going to have some Budweisers. I loved it. I loved Peyton's response. You know, I think it meant everything to him to win that second Super Bowl. He didn't need to be validated. But speaking of validated, let's get our co-host in with 10 minutes to go on this quick Flex on Lee show. And if you are listening to the show or you're not, and you listen to the archive, There's always an extra overtime, so we're going to do an overtime segment. Overtime is usually last about 30 minutes, especially when I'm doing a 30-minute show, so it's not going to last more than 30 minutes. So don't forget to turn it to overtime because it'll be full breakdown, and we'll talk more. We'll get more into this game. Flex Unleashed here, bringing in one of the originals. I'll bring him in with a little song, okay? A little song for our co-host. That's right, a little Beastie Boys. And here he is, John D'Onorio, fresh and in color in New Jersey somewhere. JPG, welcome to our show.
What's going on, D-Flex?
Well, we got into it already. Flex Unleashed here. You know, a good little 20 minutes here in. Talking about Peyton Manning celebrating with Budweiser's, giving his wife a hug, and giving a nice push for a Budweiser, some good commercials, and I love that. I love that. Take that, CBS. He's not going to make any emotional decisions. He's just going to enjoy life, and that's great. So I'm very happy about that.
Are you enjoying life right now?
I am, actually. I am. You know, I had fun. Went over to my boy Pease. We watched the Super Bowl. You know what's funny? He had a chance, right? He had a chance to win his box, right? All that had to happen, right, for him to win, like, the real big pot in the fourth quarter, he just needed the Carolina Panthers defense to not quit on the two-point conversion that Peyton Manning delivered. But they quit. And but they got the two-point conversion, and it went from 22 to 24 because he had, like, 2 and 0. His numbers were 0 and 2. He fell to the floor. It was so funny. He's on the floor. He's like, no, this is all your full flex or whatever. Because I was supporting the Broncos, and, like, most of the people were supporting Cam Newton and supporting the Panthers, and it was just so funny. It was so funny.
Of course.
But it was enjoyable.
You were watching.
So it was a lot of fun.
You're watching the game in the Bronx, and that's to be expected.
I was in the basement, yes.
Bronxment? Well, so have you called Dan Wheeler to rub it in yet?
I don't have his phone number. I don't want his phone number. There's no reason for me to call him. So that's it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right,
I'm sure he's not in a good place right now.
Well, could he really be in a worse place than Cam Newton after the game? You know, just basically mailing in his post-game press conference. That's not pretty. That's not pretty at all. It's immature. It's immature, you know, for a guy that's
what happened.
Talk, you know. He hardly said anything in the postgame. Didn't really give Denver a lot of credit. Just said, oh, we made mistakes, da-da-da-da. But, like, I don't know what else you want me to say. And then he just basically took off and left. That's Cam Newton. That's what Cam Newton is right now. So he's just not the most not the most mature yet. And just didn't really give Denver a lot of credit.
No, I mean, usually people that act the way he does aren't really good losers, you know?
Well, he's not. Well, right now, he's not a good loser, you know? And a guy that won the
MVP. That team was overrated anyway. He wasn't the MVP.
All right. Oh, okay. So he's not the MVP. Who was the MVP? Because I'm confused now. I'm all ears, man. This is
I don't know. I don't follow it. I don't follow it closely enough to know, but he's still not very good. I mean, he's above average, but he's not as good as the best quarterbacks.
He had a great year. 34 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. What else does he have to do?
Garbage time?
You know, where are you right now? Are you walking home?
I'm walking home.
You are? How was your trip?
It was good. How was your trip to the basement?
it wasn't much of a trip, you know, just a little car ride because of the snow, and, you know, around the corner, and just hang out, watch on the big screen, and have fun. We laughed. We did a lot of laughs. We were laughing at everything. It was great. Great fun to laughs. But, you know, flex on lease. I talked a lot about certain things that happened in this game, including a play where, or controversial play, where we thought there was a catch. We thought there was a catch for a first down by Kotchery. It looked like he recovered it. It looked like he had a chance underneath it. So, that looked like it was a great challenge by Rod Rivera, who otherwise didn't do such a great job coaching. But I thought it was a good challenge. But I guess if you have a challenge, right, and then you have whoever the CBS referee is, the former referee is, he never gets anything right. So, what happens? He also thought it was a catch, and whenever he says something, usually they go against whatever he says, and that's exactly what happened again. And I just thought it was really funny. He got another one wrong, even though I thought he was right. I thought it was catch. I think everybody thought it was catch. What happens two plays later? Wade Phillips dials up a blitz, and my MVP pick, my MVP comes through. Von Miller, which just comes right around the corner, strip sack, and a touchdown for the Broncos, and 10-0 right there, Malik Jackson recovering it. And that was really the key to me. That was the key. The Denver Broncos, to win this game, they had to get off to a good start. And, you know, Carolina have been great front runners all year. And tonight, they got a little humble, and they were a little off balance. And the Denver defense did a real good job. And they made plays. And you have to make plays to beat a team like Carolina and to humble a Cam Newton, who's very talented. So you have to make plays. And they did that in this game. And how much did you watch the whole game, man? Did you watch every play?
I watched it all.
What did you think? What did you think? Do you have any moments that you thought were real turning points in this one, bro?
No, not really. I thought Carolina was kind of overrated all season.
I understand that. I think we all did. We all did. But, you know, when they make the game that way, I can't really call them overrated anymore. And I didn't think they played a good game. I thought Denver had a better strategy. One thing I really liked is they had Peyton Manning throw it short on first down and pick it up chunks of yards so that they don't get into those second and third long situations if you get into second or third and long from Carolina's defense, that's where they get you. That's where they get you. And they still were able to force a couple of turnovers in the second half. So, but that's where they get you. And I thought that was a good strategy. And Denver also did a good job running C.J. Anderson. And he actually did a good job getting most of his 90 yards in the first half. And that was big, too. So you look at that. Like, if you look at the bottom line, you look at the total yards, Carolina had much more yards, right? They had 315 yards to 194. But they also turned on the ball, and they kept that up in the second half, including Cam Newton. And that was the difference in the game. And that's going to do it for live portion. Live portion ended in about 60 seconds. If anybody does turn into our car, don't forget, this is an hour show because we're doing overtime. Me and JPG are going to break down the next half an hour. We're going to do a little overtime. We've got about 65 seconds left here in this live portion. And I'm going to we're just going to go, you know, full ball right here, you know, in terms of what we saw in this game, and what were Carolina? What's right for the Denver Broncos in this game? You know, these are all things that I want to get into, and that's what Bucks Unleashed is going to do. You know, we're going to talk about why Greg Olsen didn't get the balls much, or we're going to talk about how Jonathan Stewart had the touchdown, but he was hurt in this game and didn't do a lot on the ground, and how it just became basically Cam Newton. And basically it was Cam Newton and Ted Gay Jr. for Carolina. And it was the Broncos' defense that dominated the game and dominated the line of scrimmage, led by Von Miller's 2.5 sacks and a couple of one of them leading to a touchdown, The other one also leading to the big touchdown that was the put away. That's all happened, folks. All right, that is the live portion of this. Don't forget to tune in to our next Flex Unleashed next Friday. All right, D-Flex, JPG. Don't forget to tune in to our archive, folks, for the show recap. All right, folks. We are in our little... That's Brian's new thing that he did, that he introduced, breaking news. And breaking news is that the... breaking news on Flex Unleashed, Hard Hits Network, the Denver Broncos are... Super Bowl 50 champions, folks. That's right. They won their third Lombardi trophy. John Elway celebrated along with their ownership. And they are champions once more. They avenged their terrible loss that they had 2 years ago at Giant Stadium, a game that they were never in against Seattle. And, JPG, I don't know about you, but for me, I felt like one of the reasons why I liked Denver in this game, I felt like that experience, that humbling experience losing in the fact that they lost a couple of years ago, I thought that would help them in this game. And I think that's what played out. I think that was part of the hunger that they had. You know, when you get humbled like that, you have a little more inspiration, a little more motivation this time. And I think that's what the Broncos were able to do. And that's why the Broncos are champions and the Panthers aren't. What about that?
Makes sense. They wanted to win one for the sheriff.
They wanted to win one for the sheriff. You're damn right they wanted to win for the sheriff. And you know, the sheriff didn't have to be great tonight, but you know what? You know what the sheriff had to do, JPG? He just had to manage the game. He just had to make sure he didn't make that killer mistake, all right? And that he just did the good job at the line of scrimmage, just controlling sequences and just game managing when he had to, when he had to keep possessions, when he needed to get the scores. That's what Peyton Manning did. And Peyton Manning, at this point, you know, not the same quarterback. But you don't have to be the same quarterback when you have a number one ranked defense. And by the way, JPG, did you know, here's a fact, trivia fact, folks. This is the third time, right, that a league MVP faced the number one ranked defense in the Super Bowl. Who do you think's prevailed in all three matchups, JPG?
The defense.
That's right. The defense. The number one ranked defense prevailed in every one of them, including the Seahawks, who massacred Peyton a couple years ago. And the defense prevails. And the defense made the plays. And I felt like the Broncos' number one ranked defense was getting disrespected. You know, I talked to Sehorn. You know what Sehorn's prediction for this game was?
What?
It was god awful, all right? So he did a show last night, right? He does a show. I asked him what his prediction is. He said that the Panthers were going to win the game something like 47-17. And I just totally disagree with him. I was just like, nah, it's not happening. Bro, it's just not happening. And I explained why. I felt like the Denver defense, they're gonna make the play. They're going to be in the game. And it's not going to be a blowout. And you're going to find out. And what we found out is that Wade Phillips is a great defensive coach. And finally, Wade Phillips, and I'm sure Brian's very happy about this because he likes Wade Phillips. And Wade Phillips is the guy that coached the Bills. And Wade Phillips is getting a Super Bowl ring. And you know what? He deserves all the credit. He deserves a lot of credit for that. All right, because he came up with a great strategy. And I love the way they attacked the Carolina Panthers in this game. They hit them. They hit Newton. They knocked him down. They hurried him. He missed throws. He missed throws he usually makes. His receivers dropped passes they usually catch. And that's
a lot of those passes were pretty bad.
Some of them were bad. You know what? You're right. You're right. Cam had some guys open, and he overthrew them by a lot. So you're right. And I think maybe part of that was the physical pounding that he took. He got banged up in this game. And that was a factor. And you know what they say, JPG? No quarterback likes to get hit. No quarterback likes that physical pounding. Even Tom Brady against our Giants. You remember it. You remember the big upset when they were going for the perfect season? Giants defense. They came after Brady. They bull-rushed him. And Brady didn't have that good a game. And they won 17-14. They held that offense And that was a great, great offense, all-time great offense. To two touchdowns, folks. All right. So what do you have? What do you say to say there? You know, defense. This was an ugly game. This wasn't the most pretty game. It wasn't. It wasn't pretty at all. There were a lot of mistakes. There was lots of fumbles. How many fumbles were in this game? About 8 fumbles. I mean, and not everyone was recovered by the defense, but you get in the gist of what I'm saying here. You know, this is flex here, and this is flex unleashed. But you know what? I mean, I felt like Carolina, they could have made it a better game. And that was the disappointment. That was the disappointment of Pete. You know, talking to PJ's cousins, they were disappointed in Carolina because they had chances in the third quarter, and they did not deliver. They also thought that, you know, one of the big plays was the field goal miss. The big field goal miss off the post. That was a huge miss by their kicker. That was a big miss. And, you know, I don't like to put too much emphasis on field goals, but they needed those points.
Yes, you do.
They needed the 3 points, though. You have to come away with points there. And Graham Gundahl missed, you know, an easy kick right off the post. And that was a bad miss. And even the one kick that he made, very shaky. And what was the strategy? What was Carolina's strategy after they fell behind by 24-10? You know, they quit on the 2-point conversion. That was pretty obvious. They definitely quit on the 2-point conversion. Nobody even took Benny Stoller, who I've never heard of before. But nobody took him. He was wide open. Hey, you or me could have caught that pass, buddy. We could have caught that 2-point conversion right there and screwed people out of money. But, you know, I just felt like they quit after that. They didn't go for fourth down. They punted the ball back. How come they just gave up? They still had to return now. They gave up. I mean, you know, what kind of coaching is that? It's still the Super Bowl. And, you know, you made a point to me, right? You know, if I was a Carolina Panther fan, you mentioned Dan Wheeler, that would upset me more than anything. That they just punted the ball back. He didn't really show any desperation. There was no urgency. Aren't you supposed to still? It was a Super Bowl. It's a Super Bowl. You're down by 2 scores. You gotta still play. There's still 2 minutes. There's still 2.5 minutes left. You gotta still play. And you get down the field. You make a play. You get a touchdown. You're only down by a touchdown. You gotta play. They didn't play. They didn't play. That would upset me. You know what else would upset me about this game? That second fumble by Cam Newton. The second one where he gets stripped. He looked like he was going to recover it, and then he doesn't dive down. If he had dove down, he probably could have recovered it. And he watched the Broncos recover it. That didn't make a lot of sense to me. It didn't make sense. I don't know. It was just. And this is Cam Newton's final one tonight. Cam Newton, league MVP, right? 18 for 41, one interception, two lost fumbles, including one that led to touchdown, the other one led to another touchdown, and the INT. That INT, by the way, that was a bad throw when they had the ball inside the red zone in the third quarter, driving, and they came in with nothing. And he also got sacked 6 times. He did have 265 yards in passing, and he did also rush 6 times for 45 yards, but he lost fumbles, and that was costly. And he turned over the ball 2 busts, and he missed receivers. So, not a good game for Cam Newton. Now, will Cam Newton and the Panthers come back? Will they be back? Will they be a better team? They should be. I mean, Cam Newton's, 26 years old, right? You think that they probably would have another opportunity at this. Sometimes it doesn't go the way you expect it to go. I think you know what I really think, JPJ? And I said this in the chat room to you guys. It really looked to be like at the start of the game, they felt like they were just going to walk out on the field, you know, because everybody was picking them. Everybody picked the Panthers to win this game, and some people picked them to blow them out. I think they really felt that they just walked out of the field, they were going to win this game, no matter what, because they felt they had the better team. And you can't be that way. I think they were just too cocky. And if you're cocky, you better back it up. They didn't back it up, and I think that was the disappointing part to me. You know, I was going big for Peyton. I was cheering for Peyton in that first half a lot. And when Peyton like got that 2-point conversion, they showed the replay from pumping his fist. That pumped me up. I gotta say, I was happy for him. I was pretty pumped up to that.
You were taking shots at him during the game too, though.
Hey, you know, all's fair in love and war, man, and love and hate. There were some tidbit moments too, you know, But you know what? You know what? Also about the tidbit, look, he's the fact is that he's 39, 40 years old, all right, and the fact that he was even playing is a miracle. When you think about what he had to deal with, the neck injury and all these other injuries he played through, it's a miracle that he won the Super Bowl. All right, it is a miracle. And when you hear him basically thanking God twice after the game, you know how much, you know how thankful he is, and he knows how lucky he is to have won this game. All right, that's how lucky he was to win. But you know what? He had faith. He had the faith. He had the faith in his teammates. He had the belief in his defense. And his teammates had his back. And that's all that matters, folks. That's why he walked out a winner. And I'm glad that Peyton Manning said that he's going to go hug his wife and he's going to drink some Budweiser's, man. That's exactly what I would say if somebody asked if I'm retiring. That's a great statement right there. By a guy.
Do people often ask you if you're retiring?
No.
Do people often ask Sanborn if he's retiring?
They should.
They should.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know, man. So where are you right now?
I'm actually getting onto the path, so you're probably going to lose me in a couple minutes.
Okay. I'm glad that you called in and that you were part of this special little Flex on We show. I think I was really bang on here. One of the few people that I really felt strongly about. Man, I should have put money on this, man. I really should have. Because I should have put money on the Broncos. I told Brian, take the Broncos, you know, with the points. That's how I felt about it. We did lose G and Oreo, JPG, and this is the overtime segment anyway. So I'm going to make a couple more points. It's still about 10 minutes or 16 minutes or as long as I want to go. Carolina did a lot of good things in the second half. It just didn't show up on the scoreboard. They had a big edge in total yards in that third quarter. I think it was something like 100. They had over 100 yards in that third quarter. They had a couple of big drives. And the only team that got points in that quarter was the Broncos. And if you're a Panther fan there, where your team had a couple drives, field goal, the missed field goal, obviously hurt. You know, that was an opportunity right there, an opportunity to cut it to 3 points, 13-10. You're feeling like, oh, we'll get this down to 3, we're back. But right back in there, folks, missed the field goal. And then the interception. That was just a really bad time, a real inopportune time for such a turnover to kill a drive. And you know, they did a lot of good things. Cam was starting to run for some first downs. They had some good fourbacks. You know, one of the things that really marred this game, too, were penalties on both sides. We saw some personal fouls. We saw Tlaib taunt a Panther after they stopped Cam Newton and it extended a drive. Ironically enough, Stewart fumbled and lost the fumble anyway. But what a dumb penalty. I mean, And some of the calls, some of these personal foul calls, I didn't agree with. I just didn't think the officials had a great game. They didn't, but not by any stretch. And I still don't know why they didn't reverse that Kotcher recall, why that wasn't a catch. I'd really like to hear more of an explanation on that from the NFL, because that really hurt the Panthers. Because you know, if that's a catch, then there's no strip sack by Von Miller, and there's no touchdown. And it's not 10-0, and still 3-0, and Panthers still have the football. Who knows? Maybe they come back and tie the score there. Could be a different game. So I'd really like to get more of an explanation. And this is the problem that I have with this league, is that nobody knows what a catch is anymore. What's a catch and what isn't a catch? That's the problem with this league. It's just you don't know anymore. I thought they had a couple of nice plays. They made a couple of nice adjustments on that first drive with Ted Ginn Jr. Cam Newton hooking up with Ted Ginn a couple of times and Ginn using his speed. Ginn can absolutely fly. He's not a quote-unquote number one guy receiver, but you know his speed, if you get it in those matchups, even going against Talib, you know, he makes a catch for first down big time. One of the things that I thought was really important in this game, and this was after Denver got that field goal, get a stop, and they got a 3-and-out, even better. They get a 3-and-out. And so here's what happens. Basically, he hits the receiver, who makes a perfect throw. Perfect throw, throws it right to his receiver, but Talib, he's right on him, makes the perfect tackle to stop him short. So usually, receiver's right there. The down marker's what? A yard away. If the receiver has enough room, they can make the move, and they're going to get the first down every time. But no, I mean, Talib was right on him right away, and he just tackles him short. They have to punt. That was pretty big. To get them to punt there, I thought that was pretty big. I thought that was huge as well. And I mean, they did get the ball back and with bad field position, and then of course, as I said, the fumble, strip sack, and the touchdown. And by the same token, Denver defense also made a stop like that, where Peyton made a good throw. He threw it, you know, and there were two Panthers right there waiting for that screen, and they stopped him short. And that's what a good defense really does. You know, a defense that has that kind of speed, you know, they're going to see these things coming. If you look at the stats and statistics in this game, they're not going to blow you away. I mean, really, how many Super Bowl champs, right? How many Super Bowl champions get out-totaled? That's a question you have to ask. I mean, how many times did that happen where they get out-totaled? Denver didn't even have 200 yards of total offense. But when your defense is as good as they were, forcing those turnovers and getting those touchdowns off the turnovers, well, that's 14 of their 24 points right there, including the strip sack and the other strip sack, which led to the run by C.J. Anderson, where he's able to make the stretch. And they did review it with 3:13 left. They reviewed it because they review every touchdown. Even if it's the most obvious one, they're going to review it because that's what this league does. You know, they just like to take more commercials, take more time, just make games, stretch games. I don't like – that's one thing I really don't like, and that's Goodell. And I don't like Goodell. The commission, but you know, the replay. Yeah, I was talking to one of P's cousins, and he thought that he was stopped short. And it was like, when you looked at it, his knee was never really down. The knee or the hand has to be down before he reaches, and you know, gets to that goal line. And you could tell that he was at the goal line. He was at that goal line. Why? It was upheld, and that was a good uphold right there for the touchdown that made it 22-10. I think the disappointing part to me, as I said, I felt like the Panthers defense, they quit. they quit on that two-point conversion. You know, it was just a quick patent out, and, I mean, Fowler came wide open. It was an easy throw. I mean, easy throw on pitch and catch, and I didn't understand why they gave up there, and they gave up after that. That's the other thing that really and Denver did force Cam through wildly, and you could see the frustration all over his face. And hey, when you're cocky, man, you get hit, you get knocked down. All of a sudden, you're gonna start realizing that maybe things aren't as easy as you thought it was gonna be. You look at the receiver for the Carolina Panthers was a tie between Corey Brown, 4-for-80 actually, so he had a nice game. Ginn Jr. 4-for-74, including 45 yarder. And they did try a little trickery. They tried in the second half to do maybe like a little flea flicker with Cam Newton and Ginn. Looked like he was going to throw, but the Broncos were right on it. And they forced Ginn to just run for a couple yards and go out of bounds, post him out of bounds. And Olsen, only new product, such an important part of that Carolina offense, and targeted 9 times, but only 4-for-41. And if you can keep him in check, you have a good chance. You have a good chance. Craig Olsen's a big part of that offense. And I mean, Ginn Jr. and Brown, they basically forced it to just be basically Cam, you know, with plays. And Cam extended some plays with his legs. He did a good job on some plays. It was one play where it looked like he was going to be sacked, got away from pressure, threw lobbed one up. And I think it was Corey Brown. I think it was Corey. Went up, made the catch. And, yeah, was it Brown? No, actually, it wasn't Brown. It might have been Devin Funchess. Let's see. Yeah, Funchess was the guy who made the catch, actually. A second-round pick, 2015. He reached up and just went up and got it. That was a nice play. But they just didn't make enough positive plays in this game. And that's what it boils down to. And Stewart came out of the game early, and he had 12 carries for 29 yards. He did have that one touchdown, you know, where he went over the top to finally get them in the end zone in that second quarter. And it seemed like they were going to have some momentum there, and down 10-7. But the Broncos come back with a field goal from McManus. And the real butcher job to me was just that ended the first half. They're driving. They have an opportunity there, at that midfield, inside that 50. And they just did not manage the time well. And you know, at a point like that, when you're in a game like that, you got to use your timeout, save some time, reset, get yourself that one completion so you can set up that field goal, maybe get that field goal, cut it to 13-10, and you're feeling good about yourself. They'd be feeling a lot better about themselves. But I thought that was just a terrible job. And of course, where I told you about where he came across and he makes the play, but that was a bad job. Oh, this is a bad job there, but by Carolina. They just did not do a job there. And the second half, they had their chances. They really did have their chances, but they did not take advantage. And the game was still there in the fourth quarter. They were down by six. They were down by six for a while, and they just could not take advantage. Even when their defense made stops, they couldn't take advantage. The Broncos defense was the difference in this game. Flex unleashed here. Broncos defense, not just Von Miller, but DeMarcus Ware, and also Tlaib. Even though Tlaib got beat a couple of times, had a couple of stupid penalties because that's what he does. I don't know why. Garrett Stewart had a sack. DeMarcus Ware had 2 sacks. And Danny Trevathan, guy that made the mistake in his rookie season, 8 tackles, some solos. This is a pretty complete team. T.J. Wall with that big interception to shut down that drive. And, you know, that's what this team was about. They were about defense. And number one ranked defense came through. And it's not that the Panthers' defense didn't have their moments. They did. They did. Kukli, of course, had a great game, 10 tackles and one sack and a pass defense. Broncos. It was the Broncos' time. And the Broncos who had the answers. And as improbable as it was, with Peyton Manning only throwing nine touchdowns during the season in his starts and throwing 17 interceptions. Hey, just find a way. Peyton Manning, 13 for 23, 141, 141, sacked 5 times, stripped once, for fumble lost, and at one INT. Where if he didn't get INT there, where I said the Tin Man showed up, I was just being sarcastic with Charlie. That was Tin Man. He just didn't see the guy. He just flew right to him. You know, they could have put the game away right there. But, hey, Peyton Manning, man, 39 years old. She actually shares a birthday with my dad. I didn't even realize that. Yeah. March 24th, 1976. March 24th, my dad's birthday. That's 24th, 1949. He's 27 years on Peyton. But, hey, Peyton Manning, 13 for 23. That's what he had to do, and his defense did the rest. Against the Pats, he got off to a good enough start against the Pats in that game. 17 for 32, 176, 2 touchdowns, threw the 2 touchdowns, got them off to the good start. Turned it over once against the Steelers, 21 for 37, 222, no touchdowns. But good enough to win, good enough to get it done, folks. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters in these games. Just get it done. They beat the Steelers by 7 points. They edged the Patriots by 2. And then they beat the Panthers, who were the best team. Well, they were the best, at least best team the regular season, the big offense and the MVP. They hold them to 10 points, folks. And you know what? You got to tip your cap. You got to say, you know what? That's great. Good job out of them. And good job, you know, giving Von Miller that MVP. And if this is it for Peyton, hey, Peyton is one of the all-time greats. So he's one of the best ever to play the quarterback position. Put him wherever you want to put him. I can't rank him right now. I really can't. In regular season, he's probably the best ever. But there's other great ones. Terry Bradshaw. There's so many great ones. Joe Montana is my favorite. Rob Davis loves Steve Young, and Steve Young was terrific. Brett Favre going in the Hall, certainly terrific also. Dan Marino, who never got to even win one Lombardi. Lost to the 49ers in his rookie year. Never got back. You want to go with an all-time great. You want to go with a Bart Starr. You want to go with another quarterback like Johnny Unitas. Whichever direction you want to go, you can come up with quarterbacks who did so much for the football and for the league overall. Go with whatever direction you want to go in. But know this, that Peyton Manning is one of the all-time greats. And 2-2, he finishes. And if it's over, hey, how about the career? One of the all-time greats, all the MVPs, winning that second Super Bowl. He didn't have to validate himself to me. He was still great. He was still one of the best ever. But the fact that he won this, beautiful, all right? And kudos to him as far as Cam Newton. I hope that this humbling makes him think a little twice about what he says and how he acts. If not, well, these guys still got some time, you know, to figure it out. Folks, that is this Flex Unleashed episode. We will be doing another show shortly. Hard Hits Network. Be checking out our archives. There's going to be a new show, folks. It's going to be coming soon. Brian Sanhorn, who did the Napa show, and Rob Davis. That's right, folks. Don't miss them. It's coming. It's coming, man. The true believers, folks. I'm a true believer. Maybe next year's their year. And that's beautiful. And we going out. be fading out here with Tears for Fears. So that's it for me. D-Flow, Derek Field, D-Flex, Flex Unleashed, folks. Check out our archive. And for John Gene Oral, JPG, coming through in the clutch with that extra Dutch. Y'all enjoy. I hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl. And if you did any negative, just stop, all right? You know, enjoy life a little bit. Enjoy sports. Don't be a killjoy. Even, you know what, if you don't like something, don't say anything. Just be cool. And let's enjoy, you know, sports. Pitchers and catchers coming. We got hockey. We got Rangers and Devils again. We got playoff races and chases. We got basketball dreams. We got a lot of stuff to be happy about, folks. Let's back to work tomorrow. And we'll be seeing you, folks. I'll be seeing you during the week, folks. Derek Field, D-Flex, Flex Unleashed, second show. Have a great night, everybody. Good night.